Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It's an election like no other. In the shadow of the coronavirus, record numbers of Marylanders are voting by mail or waiting in socially distanced lines to cast their ballots at one of the 81 early voting centers across the state. The numbers of voters showing up early is beyond anything seen before. The official voter turnout on Monday, the opening day of early in-person voting, was more than 148,000, the highest single-day early vote tally in the state's history. John Lee is with us. He covers Baltimore County for WYPR. Welcome, John.
Good to be here. Thank you, Sheila.
Tell us about the turnout we're seeing.
It's really interesting. I have been to voting centers each of the 3 days so far and have seen a very similar scene. On Monday, I was there before the polls opened. There was a very long line. People were having to wait a couple of hours to get in. Then on Tuesday, I went to another polling place, and it was the middle of the day, still hour and a half to get in. And then Wednesday, about an hour and 15 minutes. And again, that was in the middle of the day. I talked with Katie Brown, who is the director of the County Elections Board. And she says it really comes down to the procedures that they've put in place.
You know, with social distancing, it's hard. We can only bring so many in the room at a time, and keep them social distance inside. So that has been something to deal with.
And Sheila, the longest line I've heard about in Baltimore County, according to Katie Brown, voters in Randallstown on Monday, some were waiting 4 hours to be able to vote. And again, she says that's because of the social distancing procedures.
And you've looked at Baltimore County, Baltimore City, any other counties? I mean, where is turnout highest?
Well, I focused mainly on Baltimore City and Baltimore County. Again, an interesting statistic coming out of the county. On Tuesday, the voter turnout was actually higher than on Monday, which you think the first day of early voting, that's going to be when you get the highest number. But in the county, about 800 more people voted on Tuesday than they did on Monday.
So help me keep track here. What proportion of voters do we think already have cast their ballots?
Let's talk first about the mail-in ballots. We've had more than 1 million people have voted by mail now in the state of Maryland. That's roughly 1/4 of the eligible voters. So they're already in. And then through early voting, we're getting around, 140 to close to 150,000 people a day. So roughly, I'd say we're getting into the 30% area of people who have already voted, with some days left to go in early voting, and then, of course, the final day of voting, Election Day, on the 3rd.
Let's hear from some of the voters you've talked to, John. On Monday, you spoke with voters at the Honey Go Run Community Center in Perry Hall. Here's Joanne West, who was first in line at 3:30 a.m.
I am over-anxious to get Mr. Trump out of the White House. I can't tell you how anxious I am, if you only knew. Over 200,000 lives have passed because he wasn't honest with the people. Because of that, I know a lot of people that's very anxious to get him out of office.
And Pete and Don Philippou from Perry Hall in Baltimore County.
It went pretty smoothly. They kept people 6 feet apart and voted. Yeah, very professional. Voting was great.
It was wonderful. I was pleasantly surprised. It's very organized and things went really smoothly and quickly.
All together, we got here, 6:30, 7:30, an hour and a half.
About 150 people ahead of us. So it's been an hour and a half. So that was quickly.
John, what else are you hearing from voters?
I've talked to a number of voters after they voted, which I think is kind of interesting because you want to know what their experience was. And for the most part, what I've heard from them pretty much echoes what the Philippous said, that things went fairly smoothly. And you're talking to people in line, you know, people are in line for an hour, hour and a half, sometimes more. But I got to tell you, I've yet to come across somebody who was unhappy or angry. People seem to be in a pretty good mood. People, and I look at it this way, Sheila, people who are early voting or going to vote on Election Day, they've made a conscious decision because they had the opportunity to vote by mail. They chose not to do that. And so perhaps in the calculation, it was that yes, I know I'm going to have to go stand in line at an early voting center or on election day, and I'm willing to do that. Because what people were telling me, and I talked to a bunch of people in line for early voting, was that for one reason or another, they just didn't want to vote by mail.
What were some of those reasons?
Didn't trust it. They weren't sure they could trust the mail-in vote. They were a little put off by the drop boxes that are scattered around all the localities, city and the counties. Even though the elections officials will tell you that those drop boxes are 100% secure, they are being guarded. They're picking up those ballots once or twice a day in a very secure fashion. I've seen it done several times now. It's often sheriff's deputies who are doing it. But people who are standing in line, for whatever reason, they don't believe that, and they just feel better about voting the old-fashioned way.
Was Joanne West's passion about turning out the incumbent a common refrain?
I heard that, yes, but I didn't just hear it from turning out the incumbent. I heard it from the other side, too, from people who are also passionate about President Trump being reelected. Matter of fact, I remember at Honeygo, I saw a truck blow through the parking lot with big Trump Pence signs blowing in the wind as it drove by. So there's plenty of passion, Sheila, on both sides.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with WYPR reporter John Lee about early voting in Maryland. Voters began receiving their mail-in ballots at the end of September. What are local boards of elections doing to prepare those ballots for counting?
Well, on Wednesday, I actually spent a little time at the warehouse in Hunt Valley, the Elections Board warehouse, and watched them going through that process. And what they're doing is they're opening up each of those ballots one at a time. They can go through about 10,000 a day, I was told. They stack up those ballots, and then they will be run through a scanner to count them up. So those ballots are being counted as we go, but it's important to know that that will not be reported in any way, shape, or form until election night.
But those mail-in ballots those numbers will be ready to fold into the totals as soon as the polls close.
Yes, that's my understanding. And there's a lot of there's been a lot of talk, and certainly there's some truth to it about having not having all the numbers like we would usually have on an election night, and that it really isn't going to be an election night. We're going to have to wait for days, perhaps, to find out who's going to win. But there will certainly be a dump of numbers on election night, not only from the people who voted on that day, but also from early voting and from mail-in ballots.
If somebody has in their hands a mail-in ballot, if they haven't mailed it, what should they do with it now?
Well, I put that question to Katie Brown, the Elections Board Director in Baltimore County, and she was pretty clear about that.
If they have a mail-in ballot, they should vote it and drop it off at one of the drop boxes. Rather than put it in the mail, yep. Yep, and we have 44 drop boxes available throughout the county, so there's one near them somewhere.
So you've probably heard that in other states there's been cutoffs, like if they don't receive your ballot by November 3rd in the office, then it won't count. That is not the case in Maryland. I want to make that clear. If you decide to drop it in the mailbox, as long as it's postmarked by November 3rd, it will be counted because they're going to accept mail-in ballots through November 13th in Maryland. What Katie Brown is saying is if you want to take the guesswork out of it and not wonder if the Postal Service is going to get around to putting the postmark on it by November 3rd, just throw it in the drop box. And that's the safest thing to do.
And however you send it, you can verify if they've received it online, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, John.
Sheila, thank you.
John Lee covers Baltimore County for WYPR. You can check out more election coverage at WYPR.org. And at the On the Record page, we have links to early voting and ballot drop-off sites. Short break here. When we're back, is the vote-by-mail surge here to stay? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Still 5 days until Election Day, but tens of millions of Americans have cast their ballots, already exceeding early voting and absentee turnout of 2016. How are Americans adapting to this unusual election? Will interest in voting by mail last beyond 2020? Joining me via Zoom is Michael Hanmer, a professor in the Department of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland and research director of the Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement there. Welcome to the show, Professor Hanmer.
Thank you for having me.
The shift to massive vote-by-mail effort was relatively sudden, although Maryland did have a practice run with a primary election in June. What are the biggest challenges this presents?
I think people have to get used to anything they do irregularly. So this is a real challenge for voters because many of them haven't voted with a mail or absentee ballot before. So some of the way they go about doing things is different. They have a little bit more time, they can relax, they can study things a little bit more closely, but they have to figure out where their signature goes, how to stuff the ballot correctly, how they're going to deliver it. And so that creates a little bit more potential for confusion. So I think there's a little bit more expectation this time that people just might make honest mistakes. On the other end, with election officials, they're dealing with such a large volume that their systems are going to be put to the test as well.
On your first point, how can states best get the word out to voters who have questions?
So I think states really need to be active in providing information, how to vote the ballot correctly. I've seen some really clever infographics and videos, also just things as simply as putting the instructions on the website so that they're clear and straightforward. People don't want to be confused. They don't like that feeling. And so I think the more states can do to simplify the process and reassure people that election officials are there to help them in case issues do come up would be really important. So I'd really like to see all of the states doing more to promote that information.
How do you think state and local election officials in Maryland are doing in terms of getting information to voters?
So I think Maryland has a really strong history of providing information to voters. So I think they've, you know, held up their end of the bargain on that this time as well.
Let's talk about the history of voting by mail in the United States. We've heard a lot of concerns about the security of voting by mail. Is that new?
It really is. voting by mail has really not been a partisan issue until very recently. There are really important distinctions between an all-mail voting system, which you know states like Oregon have had for a long time, and absentee voting. But at the end of the day, the process is similar in terms of what voters are going to be doing and how the ballots are going to be processed. And we just don't have evidence to suggest that there is fraud in the system. It's extremely hard to commit wide-scale fraud that would tilt an election. And you know, our system is built on trust in large part, but also on a thoughtful system that we have a lot of experience with across the years. And one of the things I've been really encouraged by is the extent to which election officials across states are sharing information and sharing best practices. The states that have been doing this for a long time, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, have been reaching out to other states. And I think that's been very effective.
Has support for voting by mail typically fallen along party lines?
It has not. One of the things that I've studied is the adoption of no excuse absentee voting, which Maryland has now had for a number of years. And one of the things that we found in that study is that partisanship just didn't play a role in the adoption. It seemed that issues relating to convenience really drove the states to adopt that policy. That contrasts importantly with voter identification laws, for example, which very much have a partisan flavor when you look at which states adopt them and under which circumstances.
Your Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement collaborated with other university groups to survey 4,300 University of Maryland students this month about their voting plans. What did you find?
We really found encouraging results in terms of students' engagement. 84% of the students we surveyed indicated that they were absolutely certain they were going to vote. And you, that's a number that I might be concerned about as being potentially inflated, but I think in this circumstance, students are very engaged, and it was backed up by other results. We also found that 84% of students had already made a plan to vote, that over 70% had been contacted to participate, and over 40% had been actively engaged in contacting others to vote. So that's extremely encouraging.
So when you say 84% had been contacted by a political party, contacted by a friend?
So we looked at that in a broad sense. Unfortunately, we weren't able to ask all of the detailed questions, but it was over 70% had been contacted by somebody. Could have been a party, could have been peers, and encouraged to register or vote.
How much did concern about the spread of COVID-19 factor into their preferred voting method?
It played a pretty big role. We've seen this in national surveys as well. We've done some survey work with the Washington Post, and we found that concern with being infected with a coronavirus influences a number of political behaviors, very much including whether someone's willing or comfortable to vote in person at a polling place. And we saw that with our student sample as well. Unfortunately, we also saw the same sort of patterns in terms of belief that their vote would be counted accurately, dipping tremendously among people who considered voting by mail. And again, this is really, I think, a product of the rhetoric and some of the practices. I think both Democrats and Republicans are concerned about this, though, for different reasons this time around, whereas in the past, this just wasn't a real issue.
It's University of Maryland political scientist Michael Hanmer here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about all the ways that voting and voter behavior is different this year. What misconceptions exist about young voters?
I think the biggest misconception is that they're apathetic. We see young people today very engaged in politics. I think one of the big measures we use to evaluate someone's engagement, though, is voting. And for a lot of young people, voting is not the primary means that they view for participating. I think that's changing to a large extent. I think we've seen a trend towards young people recognizing the importance of voting as part of, you know, several different ways that they can participate. And I think they understand better that voting matters and who wins matters for policy. And I think in this environment with the pandemic, people across the board are paying more attention.
Well, the New York Times recently noted that in the 2016 presidential election, fewer than half of Americans aged 18 to 29 voted. Are youth registration and turnout on an upswing?
So overall, I think that it is. In 2018, I think we saw important gains for young people. And looking at a number of states, we've seen that after a period where registration was trailing behind 2016 rates, you know, for obvious reasons related to, you know, people not being as active outside of their homes due to the pandemic, you know, registration dropped across the board. I think we're seeing strong upticks, though, among all age groups, but I think in particular young people over the last, you know, several months, especially in some of the battleground states this year.
Do you expect there will be a sustained interest in voting by mail after this election?
I do. One of the things that we've seen is, you know, voting is habit forming, and also the way people vote is habit forming. So certainly with voting early in person, we've seen a large increase in people doing that. I think that's absolutely going to continue. I would expect that for people who feel comfortable voting by mail and are able to track their ballot and see that it was received properly, that they're going to be more willing to vote by mail again in the future, unless we see large problems with the Postal Service or other issues that suggest that something systematically was wrong. I think that people are going to enjoy doing that because they can have that sense of accomplishment and engagement earlier and feel comfortable that they've done their part.
Well, looking ahead, if voting is habit forming, does this year's surge in turnout mean that more will participate in the next presidential election, or is it more dependent on attitudes toward the candidates running?
So I think we will see a continuation of the trend upwards because of the habit-forming nature. And I don't think we're out of the woods in terms of highly contested, close elections here. You know, I think that the contrast between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was pretty large. I think the contrast now between Donald Trump and Joe Biden is even larger. Of course, we don't know who's going to be running in the next presidential election, but I think it's safe to say that regardless of who wins this one, that passions on both sides are going to be high. And, you know, if Biden wins, then it's hard to say now what's going to happen in the Republican Party. But given his age, I think there's an expectation that he probably would not run for a second term, which is going to mean that, you know, consolidation on the Republican side is going to have to happen relatively quickly. And with everything that's going on in terms of the Supreme Court now, there's a whole host of issues that affect people in their everyday lives that I think will ignite passion once again.
Well, let me pull your focus back to this election. President Trump has repeatedly refused to guarantee that he would accept the results if he's defeated. With so many people voting by mail, results may take time. What will you be looking for as results start coming in Tuesday night?
We really can't overstate how shocking statements like that are. And I think that's something that we have to all take very seriously as citizens. I think that we have to look very closely at what happens in Florida and Arizona, and to some extent, North Carolina. If Biden is able to win those states, which will have results almost surely on election night, then I think we would expect a big electoral victory for Biden. And there'll be debates in the courts and legal battles and things like that, but I don't think that the overall outcome will be very much in question. If those places are too close to call, or if Trump wins them, then I think we're really going to be waiting on Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And that just might take a while. And again, this is where I think issues with discrepancies between the preference of Democrats for voting by mail versus Republicans for voting on election day could play a big role in terms of the messaging that is out there. And there might be a lot of room for people to be concerned and for doubt to be cast on the results. And this is, again, a place where I think election officials really need to come out and explain the process. They need to be backed up by their attorneys general and governors across the board.
A lot to watch out for. Thanks for walking us through it.
Thank you.
Michael Hanmer is a professor in the Department of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland and research director of the Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement there. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to the survey of University of Maryland students' voting plans. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.